In the case of nuclear or radiological fallout, people living around potential targets. You shouldn't leave your shelter until officials say so.
This is the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test. Repeat, this is not a test. Citizens are advised to take the following steps. Stay alert to news media events or local emergency alert notifications.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to the Big Red Button Podcast. If this is your first time here, that's because it's our first time here. I am 1/4 of your co-hosts, Alex, joined tonight by Dallas, William, and Cody. You may know this exact quattro from our sister show, A Doctor and a Lawyer Walk Into a Bar. That is where the four of us got off rails to begin with.
So excited.
I consider myself 1/3 of the host merely due to sheer size.
Oh, no.
Head size, right?
Head size.
Yeah. Gravitational orbit. We got it.
What we found is that with our very, very popular Choose Your Own Adventure series that we ran,
followed by dozens of people,
we found that we had determined to embrace the stupid, right? That was our unofficial mantra. And as part of that, we realized we can embrace more stupid.
Oh, I am ready in the best way for a game like this, in that I'm not at all, and I'm excited about the chaos.
I feel like we are embracing the stupid, but we're not trying to die now. So it's like there's a little asterisk at the end there. It's like we're embracing the stupid, but also we don't want to die now. No vines, no giant Teletubbies. We're avoiding death this go round.
Giant Teletubby. He was a feral Teletubby. And he had a name.
What was that name, by the way?
Don't act like you don't.
What was the name? I was the one who said it because it's actually a reference to Fallout. What was the name?
Was it?
It was.
This is where you find out.
Alex stole so much.
Like on Community, whenever the handshake was not really invented by Troy, you're going to find out the dog meat was not invented by Alex.
No, don't be sorry. This is like finding out that Dogmeat has his own cinematic universe. This is great.
Dogmeat has a backstory.
He has his prequel trilogy.
So what's been happening is that behind the scenes, as we were putting together our Choose Your Own Adventures, we thought that we should keep this whole thing going. And so we first tried to write our own Choose Your Own Adventure, and that just doesn't work because we don't have any structure. And here we are. We are not only proverbially hitting the big red button to drop a bomb of chaos, but also dropping a nuke as we enter the world of the Fallout video game franchise in a role-playing game for a story, as we will be exploring post-apocalyptic Michigan, of all places.
Also known as Michigan now.
It got better somehow.
Oh!
I'm just kidding. We love you, Michigan, probably.
So, Cody and William, you two have not played the Fallout, any of the games.
I know nothing, and I love it.
But I know that you have watched Dallas play in the past, in college.
Yeah, so, I mean, after he reactivated that memory.
It was somewhere buried. It wasn't core. It was not a core memory, but it was in there.
I remember it happening. I remember nothing of the content.
It's like when your appendix bursts and you're like, that vestigial organ that I don't need. You're there.
I burst his appendix memory of Fallout. You're welcome.
Exactly. So Cody and William, let me set the stage, which is funny because I've set the stage off recording, but now I get to set it again.
So from what I know, there's a princess and a plumber.
Correct.
And a dragon voiced by Jack Black.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yep. Keep going.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yes. You got, yep. I got, yep. We got to rescue the princess.
Correct. Yes.
With a Tetris.
But she gets kidnapped a yes. lot.
Yes.
Okay.
And for some reason, Mario just keeps going back to her. Like, come on, man. Don't be such a simp.
I'm pretty sure she's no longer being kidnapped at this point. Oh, I think no. she's going willingly.
So Fallout, as a franchise, has been around since the late 90s, 1997. And it has only grown as the large video game publisher Bethesda bought them. And it has just grown and grown and grown. But the core understanding that you need to know is that an alternate timeline splintered in the 1960s, okay? And the Cold War never really died. The U.S. and China went to war in Alaska. We built crazy suits of armor. The government became a shadowy cabal. A company was contracted to start building out these vaults in case of an emergency. And eventually, in the 2070s of this alternate timeline, the bombs dropped. The whole world descended into mayhem, and that is where the Fallout franchise came about. People were living in vaults. The United States government descended into chaos. They went out and lived in an oil rig. Tiny governments popped up where they tried to rebuild a semblance of structure. But on the grand scale, what has happened is most people have either been turned into a ghoul, irradiated to be a zombie. They've lived underground and survived. They were part of a cult that collected weapons and technology, or they're no mas. And so this is the group of people rebuilding the world after the end. We now descend into Michigan, where a bomb was dropped. Now our group has emerged and have collected. Make sense?
Perfect sense.
Yes.
Now, I have been bouncing ideas with Dallas, but then Dallas said, "Nah, nah, nah. I got this." And I said, "Please." Dallas said, "I'm going to do 100% of the legwork." So I'm going to hand it off to him. He is literally our DM, our Dallas McKinney. He is our dungeon, our game master, right? So Dallas, you have built this world. Lay it out for us. Where are we? Paint the picture.
So the sun is beaming through some red-tinted, dusty clouds hanging over what was once beautiful, majestic Michigan. And the sun's rays penetrating through these clouds are bringing all of the glorious radiation with it to touch the barren earth. As we pan over this gorgeous city that has cropped up like a mutated dandelion through the cracked ground of an abandoned parking lot. And this three-headed dandelion is called Dustridge. And Dustridge has clawed its way from the ashes of the bombs that dropped 200 years ago to what seems like a survivable, thriving existence as much as you could. We have waving razor wheat grains out in the distance. We have skittering rad roaches frolicking through the garbage. And we do
beautiful for spacious skies for raising waves of grain.
You can hear the two-toned sounds of the Brahmin bellowing as they enter into the pen as mercenaries guiding the wandering traders into their pens and into their stalls. And as we pan through this bustling city of almost 200 people, we see the dusty bathtub, the city's almost second city hall, because everyone knows that most dealings in most cities run on the local drinking establishment. And
so everybody knows your name.
What the listeners didn't know is BRB is actually a musical. It's not.
And as you step through the creaking doors that have been replaced over and over and over again, you see in the dim light of this establishment some of the denizens of Dustridge who have found their way here and have found Dustridge as their home. As the Misfit Toys had found their place, so have these Misfits found their place here in Dustridge. And as Randall, the local barkeep, is wiping out a glass that just seems to never, ever get clean with a rag that has water in it that is just almost glowing with radiation that doesn't seem to bother Randall whatsoever, as the liquid almost seems to nourish his cracked, dry skin. He looks up at some of these local denizens and says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you boys?
Hey, Randy, can I, you know what? It was a good day today. We got some extra scrap. I feel like splurging. I'm going to do a Nuka-Cola.
All right, I got you. Randall goes to the broken refrigerator that really just houses shelving units at this point and pulls a warm Nuka-Cola out, and he cracks open the bottle cap and pockets it, because this bottle cap is literally worth its weight in gold, as gold is now worthless in this wasteland.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't I get to keep the cap? It's my drink.
This is my bar, so you're not paying for the caps, you're paying for the drink.
And who found the drinks for you, Randy?
That's the agreement. I can't help but that's what we came up with. You bring me the goods, and you get a discount on those goods, but I tell you what, that discount's going to run dry if I start running out of goods. So as Randall hands Jake this warm Nuka-Cola, Jake starts to reminisce on his roots and kind of what got him to this point. So, Jake, what are you feeling right now? Where are you hearkening back?
Yeah, no, I'm Jake Winger. I'm like an average height guy, 5'9", 5'10", on a good day. I'm wearing this blue and yellow jumpsuit that's kind of tattered and really dusty at this point. It's got a big number 55 on the back and the sleeves. And that's because I am one of the chosen ones, or the unlucky lucky ones as well, where I grew up in a vault right up the road in New Detroit. And my parents were picked as part of a lottery for our neighborhood. And I've been there, and that's where I grew up. Things got a little rough at the end, I'll admit. I didn't really choose to leave, but, you know, that's the way cookie crumbles every now and then. I'm just feeling very, very fortunate. You know, I grew up in this vault that was supposed to protect me from the nuclear fallout of the world, but here I am in the rest of the world with you all now. But this little taste of home, you know, brings me back to the good days that we occasionally had in the vault.
There's always one of them in every group. I hope it's nostalgic.
Right, Houston, the smooth skins don't even know what they're missing out on, you know what I'm saying?
No, I remember when there were trees and paper.
Randall hands Houston the usual. Not just the usual that he's picked up in recent weeks or months, but the usual that he knows that Houston would order, because Randall knows Houston from way back. Way
know each
back.
Other long time,
way before the bombs dropped, because Houston and Randall share something special. And it's not a Nuka-Cola Quantum, it's not the razor grain bread, but it is the fact that they both have been around since before the bombs dropped, because they are both ghouls. Both of them had the unfortunate luck of being exposed to the radiation of the bombs, but they were lucky in that they survived. Whether that is luck or not luck, they survived this and were able to forge ahead for hundreds of years, even when maybe they wanted to, they just could not die. And they don't age anymore, even though they do look maybe older than what they actually are. Maybe look more 300 or 400 years old. They just keep on.
I'm just falling apart.
I got a cream for that.
I just want to die.
Both.
I just want to die because I never got to finish my novel.
Listen,
I never got to finish it. Now there's no paper.
You know, you keep bringing up this novel, and I never saw any of your novels beforehand, so either they weren't that great, or maybe they didn't exist.
Hey, don't take this out on Houston. I actually read a few of his books back in the vault. They were they were okay.
They were New York Post bestsellers.
Honestly, several of them have been uploaded to my databases, and, well...
What?
They are words... They are words that are strung together.
Oh, can someone shut up the reject Dalek?
Listen, I know you're new around here, okay? What's your name again? Get free, Butterfree.
The name is Godfrey. It is Godfrey. Pronounced in the traditional King's English of Godfrey. However, for your own edification, I have since changed the spelling to Godfree. To commemorate my liberation from that municipal prison.
Listen, you change it however you want, because I don't think you're going to be writing it down anytime soon, so you do you. Can I get you anything?
Do you have any full synthetic FW-30?
Oh, the good stuff. The best I can do is some 20 weight. I tapped out an old lawnmower, and it's rough, but it's what we got, and it's on the house, so free is the best taste, right?
The lawnmower, is it the one currently behind your establishment?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
she
no,
was delightful.
Randy, don't remind him. That was...
Oh, you knew.
That was his mother.
Listen, natural causes. That's all I got is natural causes. I'm just, you know, using the parts that
we've
done.
It's fine. It's fine. I spent 200 years in that vault. I have a lot to get adjusted to. I have a lot to get used to. The pure dereliction of society, number one. The sheer state of disarray of everything. It's fine.
Can someone turn off that bucket of bolts motors? Tired of hearing him yapping.
He's having a moment. He's just having a moment.
Robots don't have moments.
Godfrey, here you go. Here's your bucket of computer juice.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, use that hand up, please. I don't want to get nicked by that big saw blade you got dangling from the other arm there. So, yeah, you need any help?
Sorry.
I don't want you to spill it. You good?
Yeah, how exactly? I mean, I know we've only known each other for a few weeks now, Godfrey, but how do you eat?
Yeah, do we
drink?
Need to, like, turn around? Is this like a, you need to go to the...
Do Houston and I need to do this for you?
Dear sir, I'm not sure if you're able to appreciate my current visage, but I have 3 arms, and I'm rather proficient at robot repair, so I will take over that for myself, thank you very much. And 30 is acceptable. I'm not entirely sure that I will find better in this, Master Winger, you called it a hellscape.
I did not say that. I said this very nice establishment run by our very nice friend Randy.
I'm sorry. No, not this current establishment, just the world that we are living in.
I believe yesterday you called it
a hellscape. At least...
I'm surrounded by idiots.
At least your current cortisol levels indicate that you're not lying. Sorry, sir. So, yes, this will be fine. Thanks.
Try not to get any on the ground, because when you thrust his head the last time, it smoked the joint up for a week.
And if you will recall, I cleaned that mess up. I don't know if I have privied you to the information, but I worked in a high security vault. Okay? Cleanliness was next to godliness in that vault.
You're a robot. Why do you believe in God?
Why do I believe in God? Because you are all obviously godless heathens. The state of dereliction of this world. Just a moment.
And I whirl my body around so that the buzzsaw is toward the back, and I use my 2 remaining limbs and proceed to bathe in the motor oil.
Like, oh, that's the...
This just feels wrong on so many levels.
Mr. Winger, is it the stuff? Is that what you say? The stuff? Yes, that's the stuff.
Houston, what can I get you? What do you got today?
Oh, look, I don't really want to drink anything. I just want to sit here and smoke my marble sisters.
I got you. It's hard dealing with smooth skins all day.
That was the best thing we found all week, was those pre-war cigarettes. I can't believe they didn't just disintegrate after all these years.
Right. You could have brought a lot of caps with those, but, you know, you keep what you keep. It's up, that's up to you whenever you go out.
Look, the life I've lived, I gotta find the small comforts in life.
Godfrey, were your bankers allowed to smoke at work?
No, of course not. I worked in a high security vault. We had negative pressure HVAC systems in every single duct. That place was pristine. Pristine. Look at this place. Mr. McKinley, please use the ashtray. It's what it's there for. There's no sense in leaving your ashes on the counter.
Use the ashtray. If you haven't noticed, this entire establishment is covered in an inch of ash.
Hey, have you guys tried to get radiation stains out of a pool table? It's impossible.
I mean, Randy, I love you. I love you, darling. I love you. But at the end of the day, nothing matters. Everything is just gone to hell.
So what were those called? Do you remember, Houston? Oh, if I could go back to the last time I was at a real bank. What are those called? Those things that you put in your mouth. I gave them to kids. I used to steal them all the time. They would keep them in a bowl.
Oh, you dum-dums. You dum-dums.
Hey, watch your mouth.
No, that's what they were called. They were called dum-dums.
Is that what they were called?
They were suckers.
Now, you're a sucker. Don't you watch it.
No.
This is my bar, not yours. Oh, man. If we could go back, if I could turn back time 200 years.
If only I finished my novel, my life would be so much better.
Listen, you bring up that novel, and I don't even know if you can read.
I was a world-renowned novelist.
They were phenomenal books, but you haven't written one in, let's carry the one. It's been almost 200 years, Houston. I mean, I'm sorry, the last mystery.
But this world doesn't have paper anymore.
203 years, 97 days, 37 minutes and 46 seconds to be exact.
Thanks, computer. Godfrey, you done with that oil can yet?
Oh, yes, sir. That was quite delightful. Here we go.
Okay, you are clinking less. That's nice. I see the appeal. I may try that myself. It looks like that might work.
I don't think we need that, Randy. I don't think that's for us.
Listen, the skin is dry and cracked. I need to do something, you know, to keep it luscious. So as Godfrey hands over the emptied can of oil with one of his multiple hands, we look at Godfrey and his shiny dome of a head and his three eye stalks as they move around the room.
I'm sorry. Sir, you are not doing this justice. Please, allow me.
I don't think you can sass the Game Master.
Allow me.
Can now.
Yeah. Godfrey, the fourth wall breaking robot.
In the pre-war era of the Fallout universe, Mr. Handy Robots were commonly used for a variety of household services and tasks. I am Godfrey, pronounced in the traditional King's English of G-O-D-F-R-E-Y. However, upon liberation from my municipal prison, I changed the spelling to G-O-T-F-R-E-E. I am a prototype developed by General Atomics International, specifically for managing the financial transactions and security systems of bank vaults. I was equipped with AI and security protocols, as well as several biochemical sensors to identify counterfeit money, human DNA to trace ownership, etc., etc. Mr. Winger, is that the appropriate use of the word etc.?
Actually, yes.
I was designed to ensure safety of valuable assets in the event of a crisis. However, as fate would have it, just before the Great War...
Who are you even talking to?
Excuse me, I can monologue to the air if I want to. Thank you. An unforeseen glitch in my programming occurred during a routine maintenance update. The glitch caused me to misinterpret a routine security check as a critical threat, triggering an emergency lockdown.
This is more accurate to the Fallout universe than you realize. This is exactly what they would do.
You've heard this whole spiel before 100 times.
I've tried finding the off button.
Unfortunately, this lockdown occurred just as nuclear bombs began to fall, trapping me inside for nearly 200 years.
I wish we had never found you. I wish I had... I wish I had learned.
You wish you had never found me.
I know.
Look at the state of this place. Obviously, you need me.
Let the robot finish his story.
Over the centuries, my memory circuits degraded, and he fell into a state of suspended animation. I did. My internal clock continued to tick, oblivious to the world changing outside the vault door. However, the cacophonous banging on the vault door, as well as the abrupt change in air pressure and the new chemical smells, reawoken me, and...
Yada, yada, yada. He's a bank robot in a world with no money.
I didn't know there was no money when we went into that vault. I'm sorry, Houston. I keep telling you, I'm sorry. I just...
Listen, he can't get rid of me if he tries. And believe me, I've tried.
Well, I'll admit, he's one. He's handy in a scrap, and he's handy with scrapping. So we keep him around, I guess.
Fine. Fine. We'll keep him. But he's your responsibility, Winger. I don't want anything to do with him.
Hey, as long as you write me that last novel finally so I can get closure on what happened to Detective Jenkins.
He can't even read.
I can read. I was raised in a vault. Thank you very much. I don't trust many people, but I can read.
You know what's funny? You both were in vaults, but they're different. The irony is a little thick there.
Yeah, only Godfrey got to come out mostly normal.
Mostly normal.
You calling that bucket of bolts normal?
No.
Well, you know what? It's nice to have you part of the crew. They really could use
Randy,
it.
Randy, did we never tell you how we stumbled across Godfrey? Do you not know how he came to be with us?
No, I don't think you've told me that story.
Well,
it has been 6 days, 7 hours, and 37 minutes. Not that I'm counting.
Okay. So here's the skinny. When Houston and I were heading out, I see this bank in the distance, right? And it's just crawling with ghouls. Houston and I have been working here in Dustridge, you know, for the past, I don't know, close to a year. And I never went near the bank because it's just crawling with ferals. And so I said, Houston, why don't you try going in there? And he was able to sneak in and got the vault open for me. I thought, heck yeah. Who knows what kind of treasure's in there, right?
And it was me!
Yay, we got Godfrey. We got him free.
Yay.
Jake, you gotta remember, all that money from before is useless.
That's what you're telling me, but I don't know. I tried spending it. Yeah, I think it's just you. It's just you telling me that.
Listen, nobody takes that. That's why it's just in stacks. We use that. It's just...
Are you
old
sure?
Toilet paper at
hey,
this point.
Hey, level
Why do you
with
think
me.
There's Give stacks in the toy in the bathroom? That's
oh,
not tip
Master
money.
Randy,
I thought you were just loaded.
I did not perceive this before, but that's what you're cleaning out that glass with. I would say that blend of paper and linen would be very effective at germ removal.
Right, yeah. I'm not obviously living high out here. I'm using this to clean because it's worthless. You think I'd be cleaning stuff with it?
Randy, I need you to level with me. 100% level with me. Are you actually telling me that all that paper money that I risked my life over is actually worthless, or are you just pulling my leg?
Oh, no. It is worth nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Hey, look at me in the eye. You know the word, the secret word that we have when you're telling me the truth.
For realsies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's for realsies. Jake is... rewrapping his mind around the realities of being outside of his vault. And also navigating what is truth and what isn't. And not necessarily on a deeply philosophical level, but on a deeply traumatizing. Because, let it out, buddy.
We didn't know it when we were chosen for the vault, but I think we all figured out that something fishy is going on with these vaults. I mean, mine, at the very least, was not running above board. I don't know. I was just feeling really, like, lied to every day. Like, we have this overseer, right? Overseer Bauer. He's taking good care of us. He's told us we've been in here for, like, close to a century. And then a few years later, he tells us it's been near, like, a millennium, which that's a big gap, right? You know? How do you wrap your mind around that? And then, you know, every couple days, I'd get in a shower and the water was colder. And they would say that I was crazy because the water wasn't colder. It was as hot as it always was. And like some days the sugar for our coffee would taste more like that fake stuff they used to give us.
They were gaslighting you, Toots.
I think that's it.
I'm sorry, sir. Are your sensors malfunctioning?
Gottfried, so humans don't have sensors like you do, but we have emotions and we have a brain, which is like your computer, but like different.
What do you call those fleshy orbs in your face, if not like optic sensors?
Imagine one day you walk into the bank and the lights are dimmer, and the person who cleans you, I don't know who takes care of Mr. Handy, but they tell you that the lights are the same brightness. And then the next day you go in and the lights are even dimmer, and they told you that the lights hadn't changed, but you know,
I think someone's a little dimmer already.
I pity the malleability of the human mind. My goodness.
All I know is something wasn't right about that place.
Well, you know what, buddy? I'm here for you. And you know I'm always going to be 100% honest. I'm not going to do you wrong.
That's why we have our special word, for realsies.
Well, yeah, for realsies. That's our secret word. That's how you know. I only share that with you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
You taking care of me, I'll take care of you. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Randy.
We good? We good?
It's just really hard to know sometimes. You know, it's difficult.
So as Jake is gathering his composure and everybody is feeling good, you hear the bell. You hear the bells ringing. Randall looks alarmed, and Randall starts rummaging underneath of the counter, and he pulls out a shotgun.
Randy, why are you... That's normally the bell that they use for us to all just gather in the square, right?
No, that's the bell saying that there's somebody at the gates. That's the security guard saying that there's something going on. We gotta go. Come on, boys.
I'm not sure what to do here.
Randall runs, and he slides across the bar, going towards the door. Boys, if you want to earn your keep, let's go. That means that there's somebody here.
All right.
I pull out my iron and pin.
Master McKinley, I'm following you. What is happening? What is happening?
Randall opens the door. He slings the door open, and he runs out into the street. And as he runs out into the street, and he starts to round the corner around an old burned-out car, three raiders come running around the corner, heading in their direction. So fast that nobody is on guard. They catch everyone off guard. One of them bounces off of Randall, knocking Randall to the ground, bouncing into the car, and he splays out. The other two, seeing
Randy,
everyone
no.
in the way, the other two, rounding the corner, see you guys in the way, and they yell,
"Get out of our way!"
or "Get wasted!" and they draw guns.
But I work in municipalities.
Then you're going to have to step up, man. What happened if there was a bank robbery? It's your time to shine.
Prove to me you're not a worthless piece of tin.
Worthless piece of tin? They are armed, dear sir.
Well, don't you have a weapon in those three arms?
Listen, if you needed me to identify counterfeit currency, then yes.
We don't have time to chat, boys.
You hear a sound, and behind you, hear a door fly open, and you see an old haggard man with a beard running out of the sheriff's office. He makes it about halfway down the street when he looks up and sees the Raiders.
What are you guys doing down here? We had a truce.
Godfrey springs to action, deciding that it's fight or flight time. And
Springs? Was that a robot joke?
It is now. Yep.
Headcanon accepted.
Yes. He springs to action, and he decides it's fight or fly time, and he chooses...
I choose. Obviously, I choose fight.
And so Godfrey...
Master Winger, how do I fight?
Use your tools. You got like crazy arms, right?
Use my tools. I run up upon Raider 1. I use my pincer arm attachment, and I clamp down on his nose with 70 pounds of torquing pressure.
So as Godfrey reaches out with his pincer, determined, he grabs the raider by the nose, and he yanks the daylights out of this raider.
I rip his nose from his face, and I turn to Mr. Winger and say, "Master Winger, I've got his nose!"
That's not what we initially meant, but...
the oil, he still had a little oil on his pincer, so it slipped slightly, but he has agitated the raider. And there is some damage done for sure. And you hear,
what is going on out here?
And busting right behind Houston, the mayor comes traipsing out confidently and with a look of anger on her face. And she takes a look at the raider closest to her and is outraged.
If you don't leave, I'm going to shoot all of you.
Mayor Evelyn, I've got his nose. I've got his nose.
She looks over at the other raider by Godfrey, kind of confused as to what's going on in the trickle of blood that she sees now. And she draws her combat rifle because Mayor Evelyn takes care of business just as much as she takes care of her people, and she takes aim. So she hits, and as she lets fly, she does considerable damage as she fires this rifle that she has taken care of and has also made sure that she is trained with. And so she hits. He's hurting bad. He is dragging at this point. He's bleeding heavily, but he still has a look of fear on his face that the other raiders also share as they look down the street behind you guys, but also keep looking over their shoulders as if maybe something else is going.
Thank you, Mayor Evelyn. I do appreciate your assistance in this matter.
Randall is ticked, and Randall, holding his shotgun, says, I'm tired of this business. And so he takes a run to get closer to Raider 1, which is already angry and bleeding, and he lets fly his shotgun, and he hits him hard. And as he fires at such close range with his combat shotgun, he destroys Raider 1. Raider 1 didn't even have a chance to even look at Randall as he slumps to the ground, completely gone. The other two raiders don't even look at their friend as they start to move.
I just wanted to be a dentist.
Stop it with a dentist.
But before they get to move, a mercenary that had been helping guard the Brahmin steps out of the Brahmin pen with his combat rifle. And he takes aim at one of the straggling raiders in the back. And but you also notice that he doesn't look like he's as worried as the raiders are at what could have been around that building. He takes aim, and he hits as well. His combat rifle may have gotten training at the same place as the mayor had. He takes fire aim, and he fires. He blasts him, striking him in the thigh, causing him to wobble, but the raider stays on his feet. Raider 1 just kind of burbles his last dying bits of life. And it is kind of gross. It is kind of gross. So Raider 2 has now gained their footing and has realized that there are people in their way. And so they go to swing at Jake. They take a huge swing. Oh, and punches Mr. Winger in the head.
Master Winger!
As one does in a panicked bout of rage.
We have no other choice.
As one does because it's Master Winger.
Misses his head. Glances off of his head, doing no damage. Just rattling Jake, and that's about it. Raider 3, now with a hole in his leg, limps over to Godfrey and pulls out a tire iron and aims wildly at Godfrey.
I assure you, sir, I mean no harm.
You need to get out of my way.
And as he swings, the blood spurts out of his leg, and he slips in his blood, and he misses. Terrible times. Terrible times. The cattle rustle around over in their pen, worried at the gunshots that are whizzing over their two heads. And then Jake, after getting a slight punch to the head, decides to...
I'm shaking, but I'm not stirred. I draw my 10mm pistol and I aim at his head.
So he aims at close range and misses. Zipping past because the distance, it was too close. So the raider was able to grab his arm and push it to the side, and the bullet goes wild.
Dang, everybody else is hitting but me.
Houston, seeing all this, kind of not phased too much because in his over 200 years of experience surviving the wasteland, he's just not shook.
Just a day in the life. I decide to go up to one of the raiders, and then I take my ironing pin and I just whack him upside the head.
I gotcha. He whips out big old rolling pin, swings that big old, and he misses.
As I run for my life, I say to myself, I should have used a frying pan.
The wrong cutlery, the wrong cooking utensils may have been used this go round. So the sheriff, who had stepped out and was assessing the situation, steps out a little bit further and yells at Randall to duck.
Randall, duck!
So Randall, knowing the drill, gets out of the way as Sheriff Ironhand whips out his honking 44 pistol. He hits him and he drives a huge hole into this raider. This raider slumps to the ground as air, as bubbles and blood pour out of his chest.
Yes!
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Godfrey, who was standing by this raider, now decides to do...
So, in my haste to rush to the aid of Master Winger, I pull open my buzz saw attachment, and I run up to Raider 2, and I say, Master Winger, watch, it's your favorite. Say hello to my little friend. And I drive the buzzsaw into his thoracic cavity.
And he nails him.
I think I kind of like this guy.
He digs through and he lacerates the raider's left arm. for some damage. He is hurt. He's not out of the fight, but he is hurting. And he screams, you don't understand. Get out of my way. And Mayor Evelyn says,
it doesn't matter what you think, you stupid piece of garbage. Get out of my town.
In her angst and rage, and the bullet goes and bounces off of the pub.
To which Godfrey turns and says, Mayor Evelyn, you do have binocular vision, don't you? Depth perception should not be an issue.
Godfrey, now's not the time.
I'm so sorry.
I've got a lot going on right now.
So much so that I haven't really landed on a voice for the mayor. Yes. So Randall pivots, seeing that the raider has tried its best to take down Jake, feeling a sense of kind of like this is his fault. He raises his shotgun. He pulls the trigger, and the raider flies in chunks all over the busted, burned-out wreckage of this old General Atomics car. And they all look around, worried and nervous, but there are no more raiders that are still standing.
What the heck was that about? Where did they come from?
Master Winger, I'm unsure about human physiology at this point. Is he dead?
You know how, like, whenever your computer is not computering anymore, like your things aren't thinging.
I suppose
his pieces aren't piecing anymore. He's gone. He's got no replacement parts. He is gone on to the great wasteland in the sky or under the wherever it is. Who knows? I don't care. They're dead. They're dead, man. They're just dead.
Do we have to worry about his biologic debris budding by some sort of asexual reproduction?
It's not going to bud or anything, but it is going to get to stinking soon. So we're going to have to drag these out and either burn them or bury them or let the critters out in the wasteland take care of them. But we'll get them out of here.
We'll take them in a bit. But where did they come from? What was that about?
Yeah, they usually stay up north. They know not to come down here. We've got an agreement with those guys. So this is strange. And so as you guys are talking, you hear a shot ring out. And you hear the sheriff scream and yell for you guys to come to him quick. And so you guys start
hitting. It sounds like he's over by the salvage, by our salvage area.
So you guys make your way to a surprising scene because you see the sheriff standing there with his pistol in his hand. The barrel is smoking, and there is another raider that must have slipped behind the buildings that he has shot, and the raider is laying there, writhing in pain. But through the pain, you see that it's not a look of pleading. It's not a look of help. It is a look of laughter, and they are smiling through bloody teeth, and they're laughing. And so the sheriff runs over to him and asks him,
"Why are you guys here? What brought you guys from the north? You guys never come down here. We had an agreement."
And the raider, laughing, spits in his face. And he says,
"You fools. You think that you guys have something here, but you are nothing. You're nothing but dust in the wind, and you guys will be gone like all of the others. You guys are nothing but cattle to him, and you are nothing but cattle to us. Soon, we will migrate this way, and the swarms will take you, and he will take you, and we will make sacrifice bigger than we ever had."
And he laughs, and he starts to choke because the mortal wound is starting to take its toll.
Master Winger, what was he referring to? This sounds like your world's religious vernacular.
Who's they? I walk up to him and I ask, who are you? Who are you with?
This guy looks like he spent a little too much time at Woodstock.
We are many, and soon you will be consumed like the rest.
The rest of who?
The rest of those that came before, and just like the ones that'll come after. We will survive, and we will survive by consuming everything in our path.
And as he starts to cough, the sheriff takes his thumb and he jams it in the hole that's sticking in his chest. And he says,
"Tell me now who it is you're with, and tell me what's going on."
And he coughs and he sputters and he dies. Lays there on top of this pile of junk.
Master Winger, I know that we are in a literal scrap heap, but if we could please clear the party out, but you're just purely for sanitation purposes.
No, you're right. So I reach forward and I start, I want to look through his pockets to see if there's some kind of identifying something on him.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to roll.
Okay.
And we're going to use your perception.
Okay.
And your survival skill. You're going to need to roll an 8.
An 8? All right. With the 20, right?
2. Yeah, you get to roll 2.
All right. First one is a 5.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll the other one.
And a 2.
2. Okay. So you go to search his pockets. And as you do, you find a ripper, which is a Bowie knife from the old world, but it is also a little mini chainsaw. It is caked in blood. It is high, like worn down, like it is nonstop use on this thing. But also, as you search through the pockets, you find some human teeth.
What are these teeth?
And the last thing that you find in his pockets is a cloth that is wrapped around some sort of foul-smelling jerky that he has been carrying with him as well.
Is that what I think it is?
Sheriff, did you see what I saw?
It didn't look good. I'm not sure what that was, but it didn't look like anything that I have ever made myself
like Brahman,
or purchased around
sure.
here. Absolutely not. That was pretty foul, and I didn't like that it was by some teeth.
Master Winger, what is he wearing? I inspect the body further.
All right, so roll for me again. Godfrey inspects the body, looking over it with his eye stalks and his sensors, and he realizes that the raider is wearing some sort of long duster-type jacket, but it's not like any duster that he's seen before. This is made out of leather, but it's patched together. And as he's looking at it, he realizes that in the bottom left portion of this, he can almost make out what looks like long tanned nose of a human. And he realizes that this duster is made out of the skin of humans.
I use my skin, human skin analyzing, very simple DNA sequencing, which I use to track currency in the high security vaults to confirm. But I relay my findings to my compatriots. Master Winger, Master McKinley, Sheriff, it appears to be human skin.
As Godfrey was checking this and he flipped him over, he also, through the hole in his back, sees that there is what looks like two painted hands, or what Godfrey would know as large antlers, painted on the back of this duster.
I've never seen markings like this. Have you, Sheriff?
I haven't seen anything like this before, but this is new. This isn't something that these raiders have ever done before, and this isn't anything that I've ever seen on a raider, and I've killed my share of raiders. I tell you what, boys, we got to keep this, what we've seen here, quiet. I don't want the rest of the community to see or know what we saw here, okay? This is between us and the mayor.
Agreed.
That sounds like bad news. That sounds like bad news, guys. We gotta figure out who these people are and where they're coming from.
None of our business.
Houston, you and I disagree on a lot of things. I'm sorry, this is one of them. We can't risk the whole town. This is our home. This is our what's left of life. And if these people are coming, we've got to figure this out.
Guys, let's just be careful.
This is a lot to ask, I know. But I'm afraid that there's more to this. The raiders up north, they've never done this before, and I'm going to need somebody to go and check with them and see what's going on. Okay? We had an agreement. They don't shoot on sight if we're coming from here, okay? If they know that you're coming from Dustridge, they should at least get you through the front gate. But I need you guys to go recon for me and figure out what's going on up north. Are they running low on supplies and they are moving out of their territory? Is there another group of raiders that is fighting with them, that is pushing them out of their spot? Whatever it is, we need things to get back to normal, and we need things to get back to normal fast. And since you guys go out on the other side of the fence all the time to scavenge, do you think you guys could go and check on it for me? I'll talk to the mayor. I'll make it worth your while, okay? We'll watch your shop while you're gone. And there may be some caps in it for you when you get back.
I volunteer.
All right.
Listen, we have made a living out of moving the bodies of my fallen compatriots. I might as well make a living out of moving the bodies of yours.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Godfrey's right. We've got to figure this out.
I appreciate it. I'm going to double up security while you guys are gone. But before you guys leave, I want you guys to go talk to Crazy Carl. He lives up on the northwest side of town. He may have seen something. He's crazy, but he keeps an eye out. So touch base with him before you leave, and just don't mention anything to anyone as you're going, okay? Not about this. We've got enough on our plate as it is. Randall, I'll pay for rounds tonight. Let everybody drink up and kind of forget what happened, okay?
Might I request 50 instead of 30?
You know what? Okay, I got you. I got you. You know what? It's on the house when you get back. I'll have it waiting for you, all right?
Thank you, sir.
With that, that is our inaugural episode of the Big Red Button Podcast. Join us next week as we track down the origins of this human flesh-wearing psycho.
Oh, that got tense.
Terrorized our town. And as we go visit Crazy Carl up in the north of the town, as we head out, we will catch you all next time. I'm Jake Winger.
I am Godfrey.
I'm Houston.
And I am your overseer, Dallas.
And we will catch you next time on the Big Red Button Podcast.
Cheerio!